Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn to communicate like the world's most successful leaders. Now, here are your hosts, TK Stratton and Chad Kirby. Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, here with the great TK Stratton. And TK, I'm excited to talk about the topic that we're covering today, because you are someone that I've looked at over the years that has been very intentional on becoming a great presenter and a great public speaker. And you wanted to be better. You were good. You were adequate when you started, but you've worked hard to become phenomenal. And so as we talk today, I want to share with you a list that was created by our good friends at ChatGPT. Okay. So ChatGPT, they took articles from Harvard Business Review. They took some from Stanford Graduate School of Business, TED Talks, and even Toastmasters International, and created this list of top five mistakes that people make when creating and delivering presentations. And so, TK, I want you to share with me if you believe in your process, in your evolution of becoming a phenomenal speaker, if you agree or disagree with these being in the top five. You ready for these, TK?
Let's go.
Okay, here we go. Number one, and not necessarily in any order of importance, okay, but says number one, lack of a clear structure.
Ooh.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's a big one. I remember the first time I met with you, when I was trying to, I had a presentation scheduled and I really didn't know where to start. And so I went to you and you were able to line out three things that I was able to do on every presentation. And that was really, really helpful. So I think, I think knowing how to structure your presentation is critical. That helped me a ton.
Well, and the key was structuring the presentation, TK, and I agree with you. It should definitely be on in the top five, is that so many people create presentations without any sort of a goal of what they want the people to do at the end of the presentation.
Right.
Like they fall into this trap that, oh, I'm here just to educate.
Right. I'm here to talk to you. Yeah.
Right. And I remember back when you were building your restoration business, you were doing presentations to different insurance companies or even to different people that could utilize your services. And why do you think people don't have a clear call to action at the end of their presentation as they structure it?
You know, that's a really good question. I think for all of us, you know, nerves are a big thing. You know, we want to be perceived as, you know, an expert and that we know what we're doing and we want to give a good presentation. But I think don't always know the right way to structure it, like you said. And so then we forget to ask, like, what was the whole purpose of us being there, you know?
Isn't that interesting, TK, that we forget the reason we're there?
Right.
Right. So as we're creating this structure, we forget the very reason why we're giving the presentation. So number one, most definitely that lack of a clear structure. And then, okay, so here's the next one, TK, and tell me your thoughts on this. Number two, overloading slides with information.
Oof. Yeah. You see that happen a lot.
Right. Tell me why you think that's such a trap that people fall into.
Ooh, I don't know. You've had to really preach at us to this thing, but I think we get involved in the information that we want to share more than what's really going to help benefit someone, you know? And so sometimes just information overload, and probably it goes back to what you've always, you know, you're so good at preaching this, but just stating, you know, people don't want to think. They'd rather die than think. You know, and so if you give them too much, they just don't, they're going to check out.
And isn't it crazy? We're all tempted to do it, TK. Yeah. We're all tempted to, we only have 30 minutes. Okay. So go back to your days in the restoration business. You have only 30 minutes in front of this insurance company and you're like, okay, I need to share with them everything I know about this particular subject. And so how have you been able to make that transition,
wow,
TK?
I gotta fly. This can drive me nuts.
It's the little things, TK. But how have you scaled back and been able to say, okay, I'm going to deliver less information so that I can have a greater impact. Because number two, they're saying overloading the slides and just giving too much information. How have you been able to scale back so that you can have more impact?
Boy, I think watching guys like you, Kirby, making it as simple as possible. Sometimes we get involved in the details and we think that the people want to hear all the details, and they don't. They just want as simple as possible and not overthink it, you know? And we say so many things that don't need to be said. I've been to presentations like that. I think we all have, where the PowerPoint is so full of information and you're so far back in the room, you can't even read it. So a lot of it just doesn't make any sense, or massive quotes that are 2 pages long. Just very simple presentations. The ones that I've been to, at least, were the ones that just had like a few points on the board, few words and things that I can actually remember. So if it's been like one to three things, then I can remember what it was.
Right.
And I'm going to take something from that.
Right. But if someone gets up and says, okay, I'm going to show you the 93 steps to growing and building a great plumbing or construction company. Right.
Right.
It's like, it's impossible to grasp that.
Totally. Totally.
Okay. So TK, now we've got number three, again, not in any order of importance, ignoring the audience's engagement, meaning oftentimes people are more interested in speaking at their audience rather than engaging their audience.
So how have you, I watch you chat on doing that a lot. What are ways that you do that? How are you gauging their engagement? Because I've been involved with, maybe a lot of us have, who have been speaking, and, we don't really know how we did. We walk away, okay, were they listening? Were they not listening? At least that's been in my case a lot of times. How have you been able to kind of judge that, how engaged, without hearing from people after you spoke? But I remember you walking off the stage sometimes and me talking with you, and you knew exactly how you did and how many people were going to buy the product that you were selling or whatever. What are ways you've been able to understand if people were engaged or not? And when you're up there, your nerves are going and you're thinking, okay, are they engaged? Are they not engaged? Did I say something right?
Right.
Did I say something wrong?
Right. And what's interesting about that question, TK, is that we get so caught up, and I love that ignoring audience engagement is one of the top five, because TK, we get so caught up in delivering our presentation that it becomes about the presentation rather than about the audience. Mm-hmm. And so one thing that I constantly focus on is, how am I going to engage and enroll my audience, right? Because it's about the audience having a great experience and learning and taking action. It's not about you. And sometimes we get caught up thinking, okay, I have to deliver this perfect presentation. TK, I remember one time years and years ago, I was speaking in front of a group of dentists, and there were about 300 dentists in the audience, and dentists are well-educated, smart people. And I got super nervous about the presentation. Well, about a third of the way into the presentation, my clicker broke. And so I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do here? My clicker broke. But I actually made a joke about it and said, okay, instead of my clicker, I'm pointing to the person in the back. You got to stay with me, And people appreciated the level one of the level of vulnerability, but two, focused on the fact that this is about you having a good experience. It's about the audience. It's not about me looking like this incredible presenter. It's about the audience being engaged, because TK, great presenters, great speakers have people leaving their presentation talking about the presentation and the content, not you as the presenter, right? So if you're like, oh, I crushed that, and everyone's out in the hall talking about how great Chad Kirby is, then for me personally, I failed. But if they're out in the audience, or if they're out in the hallway talking about, oh my goodness, what Chad taught about this or that, oh my goodness, I'm going to go right back now and apply this to my business or my law firm or whatever it is, then it was a successful presentation. I don't care if they go home and they turn to their significant other and they're like, how was the conference? Oh, it was incredible. I got to learn about this. I'm going to do this better. That's success for me, TK. And rather than, oh my goodness, Chad Kirby, he did the best job talking about this, this, and this. Well, what are you going to do because of it? Oh, I don't know, but Chad Kirby gave a great presentation. Well, who cares about that? If you don't have any lasting impact in the people you're speaking to, who cares what they think about you?
So here's a tough question on for you, because you're able to do it. Can you give us a couple things, a couple of ways that we can re-engage an audience? You know, you hear the saying, oh, that's a tough crowd, you know, and sometimes you're right. Thinking, man, this is a tough crowd. You know, what's just a couple things you can do to re-engage a tough crowd or an audience,
okay.
Or if you lost them, what are just like two things?
Okay. Two things. Okay. I'll give you two right now. Number one, questions can always engage a crowd.
Cool.
Questions.
So asking them some kind of question, like about your subject, about your point.
Right. You know, TK, when I speak to attorneys, you know, and I'll be standing up in front of 1,000 attorneys, right? And if I say attorneys are terrible at marketing, they're like, are we? But if I ask them, how many of you believe that most attorneys are terrible at marketing? They'll raise their hand. It gets them engaged. It gets them enrolled in the presentation, right? And that's number one. And number two is connected to that, TK, and that is this. Be comfortable with awkwardness. Okay. And what I mean by that is oftentimes when I tell someone, I'm like, ask a question. It'll get people to engage. It'll get people to enroll. They're like, okay, I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to ask a question. Then TK, they'll be standing up in front of 100 people. They'll ask a question and 3 people raise their hand, right? Now, what most presenters do at that point in time is they go, well, I'm going to quickly move on. I'm going to quickly move on because that was uncomfortable because only 3 people raised their hand, right? But if you are comfortable with that awkward pause and you stop and you go, whoa, 3 of you? Wait, come on. Let me ask that question again. And you ask that question again. It gets people to engage and to enroll. So number one would be asking questions. But number two then would be closely related to that. Be comfortable with that awkward moment.
Even ask the question again. Hey, guys, I'm going to ask this again.
Right?
Get their attention.
And I've seen you do that, TK, where you stop and you're like, whoa, no. There's more of you than that that believe that, right?
Yeah.
And it gets them to really engage and enroll.
Cool. That's a great tip. That's awesome.
And so I think it's important to understand your audience. When you are there to engage your audience, your success will increase exponentially. And you and I have had the opportunity to share stages with just some phenomenal individuals. And Patrick Lencioni is one of those individuals that he's phenomenal at talking about teamwork and how to get people in your team to enroll. But when it comes to presenting and engaging an audience, he's equally effective. He's absolutely phenomenal with it because he's trying to engage the audience and not necessarily just speak at the audience. He wants to get them enrolled. So, but TK, number four. Okay, you ready for number four? Is this relying too heavily on notes and reading directly from notes or slides? That's, you know, according to ChatGPT, that's one of the top 5 mistakes that presenters make. Just reading too much from notes or slides. You agree?
Yeah, relying too much on ChatGPT.
Right?
Reading.
But TK. TK, I don't know. I was thinking about it. Why do you think that makes people uncomfortable when someone's just up there reading?
Yeah, it's awful, rather right? Than, when you hear that, it's awful.
It really is. And for me, and I don't know about you, TK, but for me, if I write too many notes, then I'm going to read those notes, right? And so making it more conversational in your presentation, even if you're speaking to a large group.
Yeah. You know, I know we've met some really incredible speakers, you know, and most of the ones that I've met, they practice their speech 50, 60, 70, 80 times, you know, that like literally, and they'll do it in front of their wives. And these are guys that have spoke for 30 years, you know, and they still practice 50 times and they swear by it, you know, so that they don't have to go in with notes. They have everything down. And that way, what they've told me is if anything changes, they can quickly go back and really listen to the audience and what they're saying and not lose track of where they were, you know? So I thought that was pretty powerful for me. If they have to practice that much, how much should I be practicing?
Right. And isn't that interesting, TK, that so many people that are effective at speaking are actually practicing? You know, you look at the sports analogy, and I know you love track and field, but TK, how often are those sprinters practicing coming out of the blocks?
Yeah.
Is it like
thing, you know? Yeah.
So they get in the blocks and someone tells them how to do it and they're like, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
And they never do it again.
Right.
They're practicing over and over and over again. You know, I heard once that, you know, Jay Leno used to go and practice his jokes in all these different small places to see which, you know, which jokes landed and which didn't.
So he's practicing,
you know, and yeah, and he was practicing and he could read the audience and see. And when you're reading from slides or notes, TK, it's really hard for you to read and engage in the audience. You know, it's interesting how all these top five mistakes that people make are connected, because we talked about just right before this, the importance of engaging with your audience. But if you're not, if you're just reading from notes or slides, how do you engage? Because oftentimes the slides are behind you, TK. And so you're turned behind, not even looking at the audience.
Yeah.
And yet you have to engage.
Yeah. 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 That's.
And so much of it, TK, comes down to practice, like you said.
Yeah.
And which leads us to the last one, number five, and that is poor time management. And I don't know if that's in my top five, but it most certainly could be. Poor time management, meaning they spend too much time on a story or they spend too much time. And then they have like, how many times, TK, have you been to a presentation where someone's going through the slides and all of a sudden they go through 60 slides?
Right.
And they just go boom, 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 boom through all these different slides. And it's just not, you know, it just doesn't make sense to the people listening.
Where do you see most people missing the boat with time management? So the ones where you seem like, man, that was way too long. You know, he or she spent way too much time telling that story or whatever. Like because I think as a listener, sometimes you check out and you're like, wow, you know, I don't even know why I checked that. It was just boring, you know? Do you see that? What was the real reason?
Well, and I love that you asked that question, TK, because the reality is it just depends on how impactful the principle that you're teaching is. And what I mean by that is this: say you're teaching three, you have an hour to teach three really important principles. Okay. Well, it's not that each principle is 20 minutes long. One principle may take 10 minutes, and one may take 27, and one may take 13, whatever it is. Right. And so the mistake that what I see most people do when it comes to time management, TK, is trying to equally break down each one of those principles and giving them a similar amount of time, when in reality is you just need a shorter amount of time for this one, a little longer for this one. And then people will engage accordingly. What happens too often, TK, is people spend too much time developing a principle that doesn't require or demand that amount of time. And so someone will start listening, and then at the end of it, they're like, wait, I spent 18 minutes listening to this and that's all you were teaching at the end? And they feel like the investment that they made to listening wasn't worth it. And so when you are using or focusing on time management, make sure that you are not spending too much time on things that don't deserve that amount of time. And where I see a lot of people making mistakes, TK, is they spend too much time on things that don't really matter. Then when you get to the point where you're asking them to take some form of action, then you rush that. And that's the part that can't be rushed.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So the top five, let me just recap in the last minute we have left together here, TK, is the big five mistakes that people make. Number one, lack of clear structure. Number two, overloading slides with information. Three, ignoring the audience engagement. Four, reading directly from slides or notes. And number five, just simply having that poor management. And TK, yeah, it's amazing. You address those five, correct those mistakes, and you can become a phenomenal presenter. Remember, it's the science of communication. Speakers aren't born, they're created.
Awesome.
Hey, love being with you, TK.
Great job.
Love the insights. It's always good to be with you. Have a tremendous day, everyone.